Hello, everyone. It's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another day. We get to see great things go on as we follow God. The things of God are always ever increasing. It's full of wisdom, and the way He do things is it's just awesome. I think of all the things that, you know, from time to time He teach me things, explain things to me. It was always good counsel. And I know for a fact that others can receive great information from the Lord. He once told me that those that who walk in love learn the most. And I've said that many times. That is certain. When we walk in love with each other, we touch the heart of God. That's something that He can relate to. Sometimes people seek God for prestigious reasons. They want power. They want victory, which is fine. All of those wonderful things are necessary. But remember, it's the overcoming love of God that makes the difference. That's what makes everything work right. In Corinthians chapter 13, even if a person gives all they have, if they do it without love, it's virtually meaningless. If they give their body to be burned in somebody else's stead, that doesn't mean they really love that person. They might be suicidal. People can do good things for, or great things for, the wrong reason. God always looks at the heart. Never forget that God looks at the heart and the intentions. Things that look good in the sight of men are sometimes theatrics, a portrayal. That's why people get in so much trouble. The enemy used so many deceptive tactics. And he counts on fear tactics to get people to give up and do things his way. He's not paying you for any of the effort you put forth. He just gave you a pipe dream, a lie, a carrot before the donkey. But God's love is the substance of life. Faith is the foundation of reality. God loved, He had so much love in Him, He would speak whatever it was He desired. And He learned how to make it work. I don't know how He did it, but He did it. I'm glad He did it. And we get to enjoy a stable world because He did it. And our salvation, it comes to us by our faith. God gave, He did the hard part. He did the groundwork. It had to be legal. It had to be real. It had to work. All we have to do is believe and receive it. We receive salvation by our faith. And that's the clue that everything we receive is also by faith. When we put forth our works and our efforts to do something, we put a lot into it. It's our blood, sweat, and tears and our labors. But they generate something. When you're doing right by mankind, you have a heavenly account. And there's literal money in that account. Paul talked about it in Philippians chapter 4. He desired that you have treasure in your account. And you do that by helping God do His work. And when you work as unto God, when you bless men, whenever you're blessing people in His name, you're working for the Lord. And it enables God to do great things on our behalf. See, that's how sowing and reaping works. And it's all by love. Even our very works will be tried by fire. Now, some people's see, there's five judgments, not just one judgment, it's five. And one of those judgments is the judgment of the believer's works. And all of our works will be tried by fire. And whatever remains after the fire or the test, or, you know, God has a way of testing our works. That's what we'll be rewarded for in glory. Now, you can receive money from your heavenly account here on earth. Whatever you have need of, the Lord can draw it out of that account. And he does. Some people are not trained to handle money. And he has to bless them in ways where they won't stumble. So in other words, to make a long story short, the more you walk in love, the easier it is for you to be trained. The easier it is for you to be trained in the ways of God, the less likely you'll be to deviate and go out to worldly things. See, sometimes rich people, you know, there's rich people and there are poor people. And it's usually, most of the times, our levels of wealth and poverty is based on the way we think. So if you take a lot of money and give it to a poor person that haven't been trained to use it right, they can come out in debt. They can do worse than they were before. They do things, whatever they have on their mind, they do it, but there's no thought of consequence. Some people want to be rich so they can give to everybody. But think about what happens when you do that. Some people will go out and sin. Some people will buy friends. Some people will lavish themselves and can't take care of it all. So their wealth will be short-lived. You have to know how to appropriately and in wisdom handle money and great gain. If you watch what happens to lottery winners, it's not always a good picture. Some of them end up getting killed. They trust people they shouldn't. Their money attracts thieves and robbers and murderers. And they don't know how to prevent it. If everybody know you're rich all at once, you got a lot of problems. The things of this world are not designed to help you. The lottery, you're getting free money, a money you didn't really deserve. And then when it happens, some people do honorable things, some people don't. But with God, if you can walk in love, you will be fine. You'll do things the right way. You won't lose sight of God. You'll keep looking to God, and you'll use the money as an extension of his love. Even I don't know how to use. I would, if I was very wealthy right now, and I had much more than enough, I wouldn't do anything yet. I would go in the Lord's presence, and I would ask him how to handle it. And people need to earn their way. One thing I know I do, because I've had this conversation before. I will start a business that I know how to run, and make a way for families to earn money. You know, I would start a business so people can prosper, and I would do it. I would make a work environment that was I would teach the principles of God there. We work as under God. It wouldn't be a political correct place of work. It'll be a ministry just as much as it is a place of work, a business. It would be a business. But I would do it God's way. And it would have a goal and purposes. I would do the things that I always wanted to see in a business. And it would be designed to help people prosper and go forward in the things of God. And I let God build it. I would go before him, and the foundation of people I would set them up. People that would go forward with the same ideals. Because when you hand people money, it really doesn't help them unless they learn how to operate with it. There's a lot of things I would do, but mostly I would help people that are in a situation and they can't help themselves. And I would get people involved that can help themselves it'll be faith-based. It would be based on the love and word of God. And every operation that operates according to God's wisdom can do it. It can be beautiful. Now, I don't take lightly the things of God. So everything that's possible in Him, we can have and receive. But we have to have His wisdom, His word. We have to understand. We have to understanding forms as we love God and continue in His word. Sometimes when people get what they were after, they prosper to a point that they receive what they were after, what satisfied them. There's a temptation to stop there. But that's not evil, but it's not God's best. God desires that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. As we continue in His word, continue in His way, there's a greater prosperity ahead of us. Continuing in God's word, it's mighty. It's a blessing all by itself. You know, there are scriptures written about if you continue in my word, you know, the wonderful things that happens afterwards. You're learning something. You're in a stage. We're always in a stage. Now remember, God wants us to live in His image, do what He does. And I'm going to do my best to portray what can happen as we obey God. If you continue in my word. See, continuing is you're at one stage. And you're going to develop and become greater for another stage. You have an ever-endeavoring life. Now let's look at what God said in the first place. A lot of wisdom can be gained by observing what the Lord said in the first place. All right, in Genesis, when He gave man His first commandments, sometimes people think of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a bunch of rules against sin. See, lawless people, God didn't give the Ten Commandments to way later on, after the Exodus of Egypt. Men, that was the time they were ruled by their conscience. They just knew not to do stupid stuff. But they were so lawless and rebellious that God had to give them laws. He had to tell them not to do things that shouldn't be done. In the pre-flood world, everybody knew to do right. There was no reason for laws. If you did something wrong, you automatically knew there were consequences because Adam lived in the presence of God. But God never gave, it's not recorded where He gave any specific laws. When there's love, you don't need laws. If everybody love each other, all right, let's put it this way. You go to a Sunday school class. See, Sunday school classes are usually the most hungry people in the church. They come together early in the morning before church to learn about God. All right? They're there because they're motivated. And you go to this Sunday school class and people are trying to learn God's ways. And then you stand up and you say, you should not steal. You should not kill. You should not commit murder. You can't covet after other people's belongings. You can't covet out another person's wife. You know, that'll be kind of unfit because the people there have no intentions of doing such a thing. They are there to learn how to do even better. All right, so the first five commandments God gave Adam, He said, Now Adam wanted to know what to do with my love, what to do with all this love. What do I do? He was made in his image, and he had a question. And in fact, the first five commandments of God was a response to what Adam wanted to know. And I'm not really sure that Adam really knew how to put it in words yet. He had a deep desire to do right, to do good. And God said, be fruitful. He could relate to that because he ate fruit off the tree. You be fruitful. Let's look at that for a moment. You got orange trees. You got apple trees. You got peach trees. I like peaches, so I always include peaches. You got beautiful plum trees. Now, this was before sin entered the world now. Adam can relate to this. He could eat fruit at his will. And he did. It was wonderful. It was sweet. It was full of flavor. You be fruitful. You know, there were coconuts. You be fruitful. Grow in every way. You be variety. You be fruitful. You can eat that. You can eat the fruit, and it's pleasant. It's good. You can plant the seed, and you get another tree, you know, over time. And remember, Adam lived a very long time. He could plant trees where he wanted them to be. He had the example of the garden. So he plant trees where he wanted them to be. Watch them grow. He remembered when he ate the fruit and when he planted the seed. He said, you be fruitful, you multiply. So I asked the Lord to break it down some more for me so I could understand it better. I said, Lord, what is being fruitful? He said, to prepare yourself to give profit. To prepare yourself to give profit. And we'll come back to that. The second one was to multiply. Mortimer said to multiply is to at least double. You know, he got a strong relationship with the Lord too. I love talking to him. And to increase greatly. To multiply. As you're fruitful, you set the pace to increase greatly. To go forward, to ever endeavor, to grow, to continue. You're going to become richer and richer in all your walk. To ever increase in the things of God. Continue to multiply. This is obedience. Now these things, I said it was an answer to Adam's desire to understand. But it's also a general, it's a commandment. And whatever God said to Adam, he said to you. He said to me. This is not a suggestion. Even though it was a response to Adam's loving understanding, it's his question that he had. This is how you live. This is what you do if you have the love of God in you. This is how to govern the love of God. And the word of God is the knowledge of love. Every word that proceeds out of God's mouth is the knowledge of love. It's what you do with it. Adam wanted to know, what do I do with this desire? The Lord said, be fruitful. Multiply. When the Lord taught me this, now I'm teaching now the cycle of life. That's something that he taught me years ago. He really broke it down and talked to me about it for days. And that's how he taught me about sowing and reaping. When you prepare yourself to give profit, that's like a college student going to college, finishing, starting a career. and they generate money. And they find ways to do it even better. We talked on the last broadcast, we talked about opportunities that people have in real time. As you ever endeavor in the things of God, opportunities, doors open up, because you become a person people can trust. See, a businessman is not just a person who is skilled at what they do. They also must be trustworthy. They must be reliable. If you have these other elements that you're going to gain as you obey God, as you endeavor in His Word, you're going to become a candidate for greater opportunities. And the Holy Spirit can point them out for you. And all you have to do is walk in the doors. I gave the example of a man that he works a job. You know, his education level is his college, is a high school level. He never went to school to do anything, but he works the job he has, and he becomes good at it, and he's reliable. So people are going to see him and want him to do whatever skill set he has for them, and they're going to trust him because he became trustworthy and reliable. So opportunities will open up. Same thing with a college student that finished something. They can do what they're doing at their job. They can also start a business and get a group together and college friends that they have, and people can use the elements they have to do something even greater. Let's say they all become wealthy in 5 years. They all become millionaires. Now, they're in a position to do even more. They build a business, and then they say, well, we need more education to do what we want to do, but we'll be able to be more of a blessing to people. So they go back to graduate school and gain even more education, hire even more friends, and build a business even greater. We are designed for this, but it's not preached right. And this is something else. When the Lord was teaching me about the cycle of life, He said most millionaires and billionaires stop at the second step. The third step, after you increase, He said, replenish the earth. All right, there were no people on the earth except for Adam when the Lord told him this. Adam and Eve, possibly. And He told him to replenish the earth. Now, a lot of people limit that to having children. But if you're going to have children, they have to be guided into what to do. You have to build a pattern first before you have children, or you won't know how to instruct them. Now, the world is populated in our day. So to us, it also means have children, but also give. The main thing we need is knowledge. The Lord told me, He said, let not my people lack knowledge. Before you hand out dollars, you have to hand out knowledge, or your handing out dollars won't help. There's an African proverb that says, if you teach a man to fish, you feed him. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for life. It's the same principle that God said right here. Replenish. All right, you become a millionaire. You know how to do this. Teach others to do the same thing. But see, when greed sets in, they want all the money to themselves without regard to how other people live. They become very stubborn. I love Henry Ford. He did something for mankind. Even though he got into the money game, it was hard for him to. He wanted to have the biggest automotive company. He did a lot of things right. That was a man who had a patent on the car. Now, the way rich people thought in those days, everything was for them. Well, Ford brought the car to the common man. He made it affordable. And he refused to pay that man royalties. And he took him to court and won. And that opened the door for the automotive market to come to be what it is today. See, an idea flourishes when the other people are involved. And one of the biggest mistakes of wealthy people is they don't include others. If you start a thriving process, teach other people to do the same thing, and whatever you started will become much greater. When you involve more people, you're going to have more wealth than if you harness all the wealth to yourself. Because when other people thrive, you thrive. Now we have much better cars than how they started. And then the first cars were great. You know, now we have much better vehicles. More ideas. These are some of the ideas that developed to show you that when things happen, when more people are involved, it gets better. Most of the inventions in the world, patents, are about the car. Now, used to be, if you had a wreck in an old car, you almost died, especially if it was head-on, because the cars didn't crush. They started with the steering wheel and the bumpers. People don't know it, but the mass jacket that holds the steering wheel, it collapses in impact, and the driver will survive. So whoever was driving the car, they survived, and everybody else would be hurt. Whoever's in the back seat would be all right. But whoever's in the passenger seat, they hit the dashboard, and it was usually made of metal. So they started making the interior softer. And then over time, they started making crumple zones in the 80s. When you hit something in the front, the whole front end of the car just is designed to crush and absorb impact. And then they came out with the airbags. I think Mercedes was the first to have airbags. These are ideas from different people over time that studied wrecked cars and learned to make them better. And then they have anti-lock brakes to keep a car from skidding into something. These ideas developed over time as more people were included in the industry. Now, I know these things being a mechanic, and I study cars and how to fix them. So it is with life. When you include more people, everything works better. And this is what God was saying. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Then he said, subdue it. Don't let it get out of control. Then he said, have dominion over it. Now, we'll visit these things when we have more time. But as we obey God, we ever endeavor in the things of God. We learn more and we become candidates for the success of God. We learn how to live, how to go forward, how to prosper in Him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to move in your life, help you thrive by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.